let's get growing. Welcome to the Home Show Garden Pros. It's time for gardening and landscape tips and advice from Houston's leading garden and landscape experts. Now, here's Danny Milliken with Joey Lunderman from Enchanted Nurseries in Richmond and Rosenberg.
Joey Lunderman.
Good morning, everybody.
Here today. Now, Joey's here, Home Show Garden Pros. How's everything going at the gardens, Enchanted Gardens?
Just right. Everything's good.
You ever answer that question with, well, it's enchanting, you know? It's like enchanting.
I think that's kind of a given.
I guess so. It's the name of the gardens, of the groups of garden. You guys still growing a lot of your own stuff?
Yeah, getting the greenhouses filled up for spring, so full steam ahead.
I may have a big order of milkweed for you, just so you know, for spring.
All right.
Not right now.
Not right now. All right.
Come on, don't be sad. We do have a lot of giant milkweed, and we have quite a few caterpillars. And so the there's a group of the caterpillar lovers that gets really mad at us for having those.
I'm sure.
You shouldn't have these on the plants right now. It's like, well, are they? Okay, Home Show Garden Pros, we're here talking gardening and answering your gardening questions. 281-496-5711. And we're going to answer Mike's question. Hey, Mike.
Yeah, good morning. Thanks for taking my call. I want to aerate my lawn and then apply compost on it. Is that something I should wait to do in February?
Yeah, probably wouldn't be a bad idea to wait a little bit till, you know, a little bit closer to the spring when the grass is about to actively start growing. I think you're going to have a little more benefit than that. You know, if you put it out this time of year when the grass is going dormant, you know, we get a lot of rain. It could, you know, if you accidentally put too much, you know, it could kind of suffocate the existing roots and kind of rot it possibly. A lot of it depends on the weather. It could work out just fine. But I would, you know, probably say if there was a perfect time, I would wait a little bit.
If when you put it down in like the growing season, when the grass is growing, it goes away surprisingly quick. Right, like it gets used up surprisingly. When you do it in winter, it can kind of maybe be a protectant for the lawn from cold, but we're just not going to have a cold winter. Now I say that, you know, and winter will prove me wrong. We're going to have a really hot winter. No, it's going to be very cold. I'm trying to double jinx it now, Mike. And so I'm, you know, you could put it down now if you're seeing some disease problems as a kind of a healing solution. But if you're just looking to use it kind of like a fertilization tool, I'm with Joey. Wait till the grass starts growing.
Recommendations on companies that core aerating?
What part of town are you in?
I'm inside the loop here around the Heights area.
Yeah. So I'll just say this before I recommend a couple companies. I really have seen compost top dressing just do what coration is supposed to do, right? Because you're adding these microbes. You end up getting kind of some vertical movement from the microbes, from earthworms that maybe are going to come up to eat what you've just put recently down with the compost. So I don't know that it's super, super necessary. So two companies I know that do it, one is Green Pro and the other is Year Round. And I think the one I would really go with is Warren Southern Gardens does it. And you might be in their range being up in the Heights. And so that's who I would call first is Warren Southern Gardens and then one of those other two companies.
I've done in my yard, it seems like this soil is really compacted. But
oh, yeah.
You think just a compost top dressing would help that?
I would say so. You know, that'll slowly work itself into the soil. You know, me personally, I've never aerated a yard ever.
Yeah. Right. So
ever.
I have, and it's kind of hard.
Yeah.
So it's like
I've got a neighbor that does it, and he's like, man, it's like riding a bull.
Yeah, yeah.
Those machines are tough.
And, you know, you can get a much – well, we're not talking about you doing it, Mike, but they have, like, the big ones that have the wheel in front.
Yeah, I know. I play golf, so I see this aeration out there in the golf. So
there's, like, the rear – where the weight is near you, but then there's the ones in front. You have to, like, lift up to push the tines down. It's, like, they're terrible.
Yeah, so, but I'll pass on that. I'll try the compost in February.
Yeah, and you know, hey, worst case scenario, you have to do it again. That's actually really good for your lawn.
Yeah, that's right. I can use the exercise.
Oh, nice. Hey, that seems to be a theme right now. Joey's looking very svelte, though. He doesn't need the exercise. I guess you're cutting back on your Funyuns.
I sure appreciate this show. I'm not a gardener. My wife's a gardening expert. I'm just a digger and a mover, but I thought I might. Your show helps me learn a lot. I appreciate it.
Well, thanks for saying that, Mike. And I would just say, digging and moving is basically what gardening is. So, and Joe and I, you know, here on the show, we believe that lawn care is gardening. And so we definitely definitely know that people who are caring for lawns are caring for plants, and they're dealing with soil problems and have to identify diseases and everything else that goes into it. So we are here to help. 281-496-5711. 281-496-5711. What's on your mind? What gardening problem do you want to lift up with us here on Home Show Garden Pros? We'll be right back.
Growing healthier plants is easier when you add Nature's Way Resources Remineralizer. A blend of special Texas mineral-rich sands, Nature's Way Remineralizer provides crucial elements and minerals craved by plants and missing from our Gulf Coast soil. Your garden, yard, and trees will grow stronger, healthier, and resistant to pests. Here's the best part. Your harvest will be more nutritious and delicious. Find Nature's Way Remineralizer at leading garden centers. There's a location near you at natureswayresources.com.
Slugs and snails attacking your garden? Sluggo Snail Bait is approved for use in vegetable gardens and can be used all over the yard wherever slugs and snails are eating your plants. Sluggo is made from iron phosphate and can be used around pets and wildlife. Plus, it's OMRI listed for organic gardening. A little Sluggo goes a long way. Ask for Sluggo at your local garden supply store. For a beautiful garden and the time to enjoy it, use Monterey Lawn and Garden Products.
The Home Show Garden Pros are here to help you be a better gardener with tips from pros you can trust. Members of the Home Show Garden Pros Co-op.
Hi, this is John Ferguson from Nature's Way Resources. Come visit our nursery up in the Conroe Woodlands area.
Hi, this is Michael Wagner from Warren Southern Gardens and Kingwood Garden Center.
Hi, it's Anita Nelson from Nelson Nursery and Water Gardens in Katy.
Connect with Home Show Garden Pros co-op members anytime at homeshowgardenpros.com or call now 281-496-5711.
Home Show Garden Pros on Sports Radio 610. This is our first of three holiday editions where we talk about what gifts you could possibly give. So what gifts are you giving, Joey?
That is a fine question.
Wait, no, I don't mean that, though. I don't want you to, like, spoil Christmas for the kids. But it's like, when it comes to gardening gifts, what are some things that pop to your mind?
You know, statuary is always good. I love statuary just because it lasts forever. You know, you don't have to water it. And, you know.
You guys have those hilarious ones that are like a person's head and the plant is their hair.
Right.
Those ones are awesome.
Yeah, and that's, you know, something like that. The container lasts forever,
right?
And you can, you know, change the look of it by the season.
Yeah, sometimes you can do like hair that looks like a mohawk or hair that looks like,
depending on how you feel,
like a maidenhair grass, you know, or fern. Oh, so yeah, okay, that's cool. And statuary. So what about fairy gardening stuff?
Fairy gardening stuff is great for kids. You know, gives
for
them
kids for everyone
or adults.
Yeah, right?
But for kids in particular, you know, they can use their imagination and set up their own little fairy town.
Do y'all have a fairy garden nativity? I think I would really like that, actually.
You know, I walked through the fairy garden room the other day, and I don't remember seeing that. But there might be. I know we've had something similar to that in the past.
I know two people that have, like, nativities are their, like, whole decoration. So you walk in the house, there's, like, 35 nativities everywhere, and it's like, oh, this one's from Bosnia, and this one's from, you know, locally made from fallen trees. You know, you're like, wow, you really have a lot of nativities. Yeah. So anyway, if you had those, you get those people. Because
mm-hmm.
One thing we know they need is more nativities outside the house.
That's
so
right.
Okay. So, but fairy gardening is really cool. And I don't think it is just for kids. I think it's like a really fun thing because you can shift it around. It's kind of like movable, and it allows you the chance to have a Christmas village all the time. So, okay. What about fruit? I mean, fruit trees.
Fruit trees are great. You know, the gift that keeps on giving.
That's right. I mean, you could spend whatever, you know, $40 on a fruit tree, and it over time give thousands of dollars of fruit. Like, that is really, people talk about a money tree. You know, that's
pretty close
kind
to
of it. Especially if it's like a clementine or a satsuma where the kids are going to enjoy it. Oh, forget about it. So we're going to make this fruit tree package, right? So I'm getting a fruit tree, just a 3-gallon. I'm going to go with satsuma, just getting that part out of the way. What else would really go along with that to be like the perfect gift, you know, to make it like a complete deal? should it be encourage them to plant in the ground or keep it in a pot?
Depending on the situation of the recipient, you know, if they have a great spot for it in the ground, you know, some people are in transition, you know, not sure if they're going to stay in a house for a while or what their plan is. So they might opt to put it in a container. So a container with some good potting soil, of course, some MicroLife citrus fertilizer would be great to go along with it. Maybe even put a juicer in the little gift package.
Oh,
with
yeah, that's fun. Well, Satsumas, you won't need that. I mean, that's feels like an orange tree. Yeah, I mean, that's another one. You are going to get more oranges, and the tree's going to get a little bit bigger than a Satsuma, and a juicer would be awesome. And we had a Republic of Texas orange that made a couple hundred oranges a year, right? And it's like,
what do you do?
You can't possibly eat that many. So yeah, that's fun. What kind of MicroLife would you include?
The MicroLife citrus and fruit tree fertilizer, of course.
I guess that makes sense. Great question, Danny. And so cool, yeah. And then okay, if I'm buying a 3-gallon citrus pot, right? What size? Like permanent pot, should I be buying? So that makes sense. Like
a 3-gallon pot is 10 inches in diameter. So you know, I would say starting with at least a 16 to 20 inch diameter, and that would hold it for several years anyway.
Okay, awesome. Yeah, so we're talking. You only need one bag of potting soil,
depending on the depth of the pot and all.
And so, and then you get some MicroLife citrus in there. Maybe some super seaweed to go along. And then, you're on your own for the juicer. You guys don't carry juicers, right?
We don't carry juicers.
Yeah,
no.
So you're on your own for the juicer. If you just want to do the tree all healthy, ready to go, we got a little recipe for you. So I think I'm going to put it out as a Facebook post, just like, here's a great idea. So I love it. And you guys have so many pretty pots. I am super partial to the Talavera, that kind of like Mexican style with all the colors.
Yeah, yeah, they're nice.
I always love that. Just so pretty, and when you get a group of them, it's cool too. Well, okay. Well, thank you for the gift. The gift ideas, the gift help. Y'all's gift shop is super adorable, though.
Yeah, there's lots of cool stuff in it.
For gifts that maybe don't include quite as much work as this.
Right. Yeah, even if you're buying something that's not for a gardener.
Yeah.
I bet you can find something in there.
No, for sure. There's candles, a lot of cool stuff. So, doing a great job, as always. Awesome. So we're gonna take a break, come back, and I really want to get into butterfly gardening a little bit. Talk about host plants, talk about migration. We're just gonna do that when we get back. Joey Linderman here from Enchanted Garden, doing a great job. They have goats. Get out and see them. 281-496-5711.
Mike Ball knows irrigation.
Over 30 years.
He looks at yards, sees issues like underwatering,
dead zones, yellowing, sick trees,
overwatering,
brown patch, weeds, root rot.
Find the healthy balance with Mike Ball Irrigation, Landscaping and Lighting.
Hi, it's Mike. We design and install water-conserving irrigation systems, reducing water waste by 30%, delivering healthier yards and gardens.
Invite Mike Ball Irrigation to review your system.
It's easy, and you'll love the difference.
MikeBallIrrigation.com.
Yellowing patches are a warming sign of brown patch. See it? Spray it with humic acid now. You're listening to Home Show Garden Pros on Sports Radio 610.
Joey Linderman.
Hello, everybody.
Will's here, too. And we are here talking gardening, here to answer your gardening questions. 281-496-5711. Is this Maneater? That's funny. What an interesting song. So, yeah, what's on your mind? What are you thinking about out there? What are you dealing with? You know, it's Christmas tree season. Have you composted your pumpkins yet? Are they still just sitting out, decomposing in your front?
Melting.
It's not too late. Melting, yeah. What are you growing in your veggie garden? You need some help. We're here to help. 281-496-5711. Joey Linderman. Okay. So, I want to talk a little bit about butterflies and butterfly gardening. But first, I want to talk a little bit about what you guys are doing with the milkweed stuff. Super cool on multiple levels. A, just growing it is really cool. And I know we've touched on it a couple times, but usually it's not this time of the show. Usually we're doing it at the very end. But tell us a little bit about about the process. And is it a nonprofit or is it just like a project?
It's a project of ours. You know, we grow lots of the different types of native milkweeds along with the giant milkweed and the regular, you know, what people assume is regular tropical milkweed. The common one. So, you know, the natives are hard to come by. So we grow our own, and I know why they're hard to come by, because they're hard to grow, hard to get the seeds to germinate.
Yeah.
So Ashley has done a lot of work on this and figured out how to germinate them. So we've kind of got a little routine going, and that's what we do. And all the sales from all the milkweed go to local nonprofits that support families living with, you know, autism.
Yeah, that's really wonderful. And what's that called?
The project? We call it Milkweed Movement.
That's right.
If you look it up on Instagram or Facebook, hashtag Milkweed Movement, you'll find some info on it and lots of people posting under it.
So I think people get a little bit confused of why it's so hard to kind of propagate these natives. And just something to remember, right, is all native plants are geared to grow when the conditions are correct. And so sometimes that's after a winter, like, you know, bluebonnet seeds. Bluebonnets are, they're a legume. They're a weed, basically. They grow really well. But their seeds have to overwinter. They have to get cold. And they have to, like, get scratched up a little bit, decompose. They don't want to pop up right away because they want to continue their species. And so milkweed's kind of like that. They're meant to float off, get to a place, settle in the soil, and then the outer layer's got to decompose a little bit. So Ashley has to do this, like, figuring out how to mimic the styles of nature just specifically for what these native milkweeds want. But some of the native milkweeds are gorgeous. Like, so the swamp milkweed is beautiful and a really interesting flower.
Yeah, they're totally different than the... If you've never seen the natives, they're totally different than regular milkweed or butterfly weed.
Yeah, in shape of the plant and kind of the flower. Some of them have kind of almost like a dome flower. The antelope horn is really wild when it makes those horns.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, it's worth kind of exploring what this looks like. But milkweed is not the only plant that you can grow to butterfly garden. I think that's like one of those, like, I want butterflies, I have to get milkweed. I have to get tropical milkweed. You know, it's like, no, there's some other things they can do. So there's two elements to butterfly gardening. Am I right? There's host plants and then there's nectar plants.
That's right.
And I learned, Joey, about one more element, and that is Greg's mist flower or blue mist flower. When the butterflies land on it, the flower gives them a scent protection that lasts for like a day. And so they actually like land on the milkweed, mist flower, to get this protection from predators.
Huh.
So it's really interesting.
That.
That's cool. That's why Greg's mist flower has so many butterflies on it at all times, because it's the only one that does that for them. So so that is one plant that I'll just add to, if you want a lot of butterflies, you got to have these plants. One of them is Greg's mist flower. So what are some other plants you just got to have if you want to see butterflies a little bit more often?
You know, as far as the nectar plants to bring in butterflies to your area, all the salvias are good, lantanas, verbenas.
So when we say all the salvias, there's so many salvias. They're so different, too.
Yeah.
Even from, like, culinary sage to, you know, Mexican bush sage, right? Like, such a huge run of different salvias. So maybe are there some favorites, some, like, you know, highlighter ones that people can be like, ooh, here, hi Joey, I want to get autumn sage or whatever.
Yeah, autumn sage or the salvia greggeis, those are good. They come in pretty much all the colors, red, white, pink, purple, and different shades of all those. Amistad salvia is a really
huge
dark purple, you know, large growing salvia. That's a great one.
That is a really great one, and they get really big. So it's really fun to plant like three of them in a triangle, because they'll make like a really huge mound.
Mm-hmm.
And they get like, what, 6 feet tall, something like that. And then if you do a little haircut in summer, you'll get so many blooms. Okay, so that's good. That's good. So those are nectar plants.
Yep.
Okay. When we come back, we're gonna take a little break here. We're going to explore some of the host plants and some of the butterflies that they attract. 281-496-5711.
You gotta eat healthy to be healthy. True for you, true for your garden, yard, and landscaping. Feed your plants. Choose MicroLife Humates Plus Granular with the purple label. MicroLife Humates Plus is concentrated compost in a bag. Easy way to improve all soils and support all plants. Feed now and your plants will love you back in the spring. MicroLife Humates Plus Granular Fertilizer, perfect for winter feeding. Healthy soils, healthy plants, healthy people. Visit microlifefertilizer.com.
Welcome back to the Home Show Garden Pros.
Still looking for your Christmas tree? We got them. Hi, this is Sherry at Plants for All Seasons. We have a good selection of fresh-cut Christmas trees. We have a huge selection of locally grown poinsettias in many different beautiful colors and sizes, even tree form. If you're late on your planting, we still have plenty of pansies available. For the gardener in your life who has everything and you're having a hard time finding a gift, a Plants for All Seasons gift card would be perfect. Just go to plantsforallseasons.com. You can buy them online and I'll mail them to you. We have tons of stocking stuffers for your gardeners, garden gloves in many different varieties, garden tools. MicroLife liquid fertilizers fit nicely into a stocking. If you're up towards the northwest side of Houston, we're at 21328 State Highway 249, just north of Louetta on the northbound feeder. Merry Christmas from the whole gang here at Plants for All Seasons. And now more with Joey and Danny.
Yes, thank you, Sherry. 281-496-5711. 281-496-5711. Okay, Joey.
Yes.
We've nectar plants. A lot of plants can serve as that, but salvias are such a great category. So thank you for providing that insight. We talked about these mist flowers, a great thing to do to have another attractant, but the host plants is where I really want to explore. And so I see a lot of caterpillars all the time. I'm not exactly sure who they're really looking for, but there's those beautiful yellow ones, which is, I guess, a group of butterflies, the cloudless sulfur, those sulfur butterflies. So what are they like?
So the host plant for those are the Senna plants or cassias.
Okay, okay.
Cassias have yellow blooms, and the yellow butterflies like them.
So that's like
there's got to be something to that.
There must be, yeah. There's a candlestick plant is one of the most well-known ones. That's a real fast-growing, maybe like 8 foot tall, but this like a sprawling sort of tree. Could take up a lot of space and spread a little bit well, so be careful with it. But if you've got an enclosed bed that has maybe driveway around it or something like that, that's a great plant for bringing those in. And they have a cute little green caterpillar. Green caterpillar, green leaves, maybe something there. No,
you're onto something.
But there are a lot of Sennas. There's a bunch of different varieties.
Yeah, we've got several varieties right now. But yeah, there's more than I thought.
What's the smallest one that comes to mind when it comes to Senna varieties?
There's one called a desert cassia that is, you know, kind of a spreading type that is low growing.
Oh, that's so cool. So with Senna, we have a lot of different landscape options. If you're designing a bed for host plants, you know, there's taller ones, there's bigger ones. There is a real bushy one that can serve like almost like as a ligustrum or, you know, wax myrtle, like that sort of shape and size. And so this is, you know, this is our first one we're talking about in the design front because it can be used in multiple ways. We talked about milkweed a little bit. That's going to be more of annual flower unless it's a giant milkweed.
Yeah, giant milkweed, if you've never seen that, they have leaves that are probably, you know, 10 inches across, 8 or 10 inches across. And those things will feed some caterpillars.
Yes, they will. And if you can overwinter them and provide early fodder for caterpillars, you will get a nice run of butterflies, monarchs through your space.
Yeah, a customer was in the other day, said his giant milkweed came back from even last year's freeze.
Oh, wow. That's good.
I
that's
was
good
pretty
news.
Surprised.
Yeah. Okay, so milkweed can serve as either kind of an annual low-growing planting or a taller one. Another one of the annual planting that you've got to have for the fennel, rue, dill. These attract a swallowtail.
Parsley.
And so these are kind of, if you want swallowtail butterflies, just the common swallowtail, you need to have those. But they're like, you can plant them in a little group. Fennel is really interesting looking. Dill will put on a fun flower. Parsley is a very steady green, kind of dome shaped plant in the landscape. Rue is another one that's pretty interesting. The giant swallowtail, though, I have citrus on here. So that's a fun integration.
Yeah.
In a butterfly garden.
Yeah, surprisingly, that, you know, the giant swallowtail caterpillars will eat the leaves of the citrus tree. And, you know, they're not anything you have to worry about whether they're going to devour the whole tree.
Right.
You know, you'll just get a few here and there.
Yeah, and they'll eat like three leaves, I think, or something like that. And that's all they have. That's all they need. Where the milkweed, it's like, it gets totally wiped out by those hungry, hungry caterpillars. So, yeah, you get a couple citrus in this bed. Gives you a shrub, but also maybe get it near the edge so you can still pick the citrus. You're just not too worried about a caterpillar eating the leaves. Now we're getting into a little bit more tricky. I think shrubs and annual plants, it's easy to kind of decide how to use those in a landscape. Some of these spreading vines or climbing vines are a little bit trickier. So the Gulf fritillaria, this is probably our most commonly seen butterfly.
Yeah, there's lots of them around for sure.
And they grow on, they host plant as a passion fruit or passion vine.
Right. So you'll need a big trellis or a fence or something for them to climb on.
Yeah.
But passion vine blooms are beautiful.
Yeah. So that's a huge new element that you get, is you get these striking alien flowers that are like so intricate. They're art. I mean, they're crazy. They're so gorgeous. But yeah, that's a great point. So if you're putting your host bed by a fence or by a wall, you know, that's an obvious choice to have passion fruit as kind of your backdrop there. The last one I've got written down is Dutchman's pipe.
Right. So there's the giant Dutchman's pipe, which is, you know, best grown as a vine to climb on something. And then there's the white vein Dutchman's pipe, which is more of a ground cover,
yes,
miniature version of the giant.
And that's the one I've seen growing, and it likes shade.
Yeah.
And I've seen it growing like at the bottom of, like, as a ground cover under shady shrubs, and it's so cool. Like, you call it white vein, and that's really what stood out, was these, like, the white that's in the leaves. It's not a variegation, it's just how the leaves are colored, but it's really, really striking and beautiful down there. But you said you guys had hanging baskets with that.
Yeah, you can grow those in hanging baskets also if you don't have a you know, area for it to grow as a ground cover.
Yeah, I'm thinking if we got an oak tree and we're making a pollinator bed around it, I maybe can hang some hanging baskets on the limbs of the oak tree and have some, like, some cool visual options with Dutchman's pipe.
Yep.
And what butterfly does that bring in?
That's the pipe vine swallowtail.
Oh, I guess that makes sense. Dutchman's pipe vine.
Mm-hmm.
Why is it Dutchman's? What's the deal with the Holland comment? Why is it?
I don't know. I have never been asked that question in all my years.
I have seen the flowers on those, and they're a little bit weird. So maybe I've never seen a Dutchman's pipe, but I've seen the flowers on those plants, and maybe that's what a Dutchman's pipe looks like.
Yeah, those flowers look more like an Australian pipe to me.
Okay, gotcha.
Yeah, so, I don't know.
And I don't know that the Dutch had a lot of influence in Australia historically. Well, I guess we'll have to wait for Home Show History Pros to find that answer out. This is Home Show Garden Pros, and we're talking gardening. Joey Linderman is here. We'd love to answer your question. Love to hear from you. What are you thinking about? What are you dealing with? 281-496-5711. 281-496-5711. Maybe a success story from your butterfly growing days? We'd love to hear it. Home Show Garden Pros.
Native plants thrive in Texas heat with less water. Previously, they were hard to find near Conroe or the Woodlands. Till now. Select from hundreds of native plants and summer veggies at Nature's Way Resources Garden Center. Bring your dog, kids, and shop over 2 acres of flowers, vegetables, and plants. Nature's Way experts help you pick the right plants, organic soils, and supplements for success. Nature's Way Resources Garden Center, 45 North at FM 1488, naturewayresources.com.
Sprout a miracle. Lettuce, arugula, and radishes are easy, and kids think of them as miracles. Now, back to the Home Show Garden Pros.
So we love bringing attention to our Facebook page. You guys have an awesome Instagram. You guys post a lot on Instagram.
Yeah, there's lots of cool stuff on there for sure.
Lots of cool stuff. Good ideas, good planting tips, gift ideas. It's really, you guys are. So, but we love our Facebook presence. We love kind of interacting with folks on Facebook. And in fact, here Sharon has a text question for us, a messaging question. She says, help, !
Ooh, two of them.
Yeah. So I got Joey Linderman here from Enchanted Gardens. Just wanted to get that out there. Here on Home Show Garden Pros, 281-496-5711. Okay, so here's Sharon's question. Need fast-growing, rather narrow evergreen shrub for screening new construction on my fence line, 4 feet by 35 feet.
So things that are going to grow more upright and not take up so much of your yard, good ones would be Japanese yew. They get about 4 feet tall. I mean, 4 feet wide and, you know, 10 or 12 feet tall. Pretty much upright growth habit. Italian cypress would grow pretty much straight up, you know, only 2 feet wide. But there have been some issues with those over the last few years. But the new and improved replacement for those is called Taylor juniper.
Okay.
That's
one
that's not susceptible to some of the disease problems.
And those are a little more conical shaped. But that's it. There's like a great. Don't get the mites. They're not getting that fungi that's going around.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good one.
But those are going to be my two top choices for something.
Because it's 4 feet wide, that really is narrow. And so it's hard to be like, okay, well, I mean, I could think maybe like a sort of espalier Belgian fence sort of thing where you're getting something like holly and you're integrating the branches, you know, so you have kind of a 2D impact. But yeah, it's stuff like that's really narrow. So
yeah, those espalier type deals, those do require some maintenance.
Oh yeah. Big time.
Big time.
So we're going to I sent her it says just put Japanese yew, Taylor juniper, and I put super narrow on there because of the 4 feet on there. But a lot of times, you know, got to remember that to have privacy, especially when you're dealing with plants, your big job isn't to like completely block everything, right? It's to like provide distraction.
Right. Just break it up a little bit.
Yeah. Impede the view. I've seen, especially in like West U, they use hollies, tree form hollies a lot.
Right.
For that space because they get so high and all the lots are small and the houses are two story. But that's also, you have to do a lot of shearing for that.
Yeah. Yep. The hollies will get, depending on the variety, you know, 25 feet tall and 15, 18 feet wide if you let them. But yeah, a lot of times you can keep them 6 feet wide.
Yeah, kind of more narrow. And as you go up a little bit, you might gain some space. That 4 feet is just down where the fence is, really.
Right.
So that is a thing to remember. But yeah, it's always a tough deal because a really great move is to go into a nursery, you know, to like go into Enchanted Garden or any of the Home Show Garden Pro locations and look at these plants, you know, because someone may have a texture preference or maybe they'll love the berries of a holly or a yew, and that'll be what really seals the deal is to get some birds in. So there's a lot of like kind of different elements there.
Yeah, and at the end of the day, a lot of it is what you like the looks of.
Yeah, yeah. You know, yeah,
not
I mean,
necessarily what's going to work best. What do you like? What makes you happy?
No, you're absolutely right. And that's like the juniper you mentioned has a very specific texture. And not everybody loves that, right? So that's a really great point. So our best advice, Sharon, is to get into your nearest Home Show Garden Pros. And if you want to, you know, give me an email to let me know where you are, you can do that. Or just go to our website, homeshowgardenpros.com. It has our pros there. Joey, your picture's on there.
Is it?
Yeah. Very, very handsome. Very handsome. No, sorry. Don't get carried away. But Sharon, go check him out. I mean, them out. And it'll be a really great experience for you because you guys have such a great selection too. So 281-496-5711. We do want to help you out with your problem. So let us know what it is. Home Show Garden Pros on Sports Radio 610.
Are you ready to get back in the garden? Hi, it's Anita.
Get away by getting into your garden.
Nelson's Nursery and Katie can help. Annuals and perennials, veggies and herbs, plus all you'll need to help them grow.
And be sure to check out our colorful and beautiful fountains.
Exotic disappearing water fountains in all shapes and sizes, and exotic fish for backyard ponds, plus one-of-a-kind pots direct imported by Nelson's. Nelson Nursery and Water Gardens in Katy. You can find them at nelsonwatergardens.com.
You can be a better gardener. The Home Show Garden Pros can help with advice you can trust and the tools our co-op members recommend.
MicroLife, all organic biological fertilizers. Healthy soils, healthy plants, healthy people.
Mike Ball Irrigation, Landscaping and Lighting. Putting the wow back in your yard.
Call the Home Show Garden Pros now, 281-496-5711.
Yeah, we started this show talking about a brown patch, and, you know, a lot of times people will get a slightly different answer via email than they will on the show or on the Facebook Live on Wednesdays, just because somebody else different is answering. And so if I'm dealing with brown patch right now and I feel like it's out of control, the Monterey Complete Disease Control, to me, is just a great way to kind of solve that problem. It is not the only solution they provide, because they have a ton of great solutions for dealing with, you know, pests, diseases, even health problems. One of their best sellers is Sluggo and Sluggo Plus. This is to protect your plants from snails and slugs, which especially kind of as the winter comes in, as spring comes in, we'll start seeing an uptick in their damage. And so it's a good thing to kind of stock, just have in your house ready to go. It doesn't mess with your soil. It can help a little bit, especially if it's, you know, two or three applications. And the Sluggo Plus can actually, you know, protect against even more things like insects that maybe are problems. And the Monterey BT is another great one just to have on stock, just in case you have caterpillar problems that you want to deal with, maybe on your fall tomatoes, or, you know, maybe they're messing with your this warm weather kind of encourages them to eat on your collards and your kale and stuff like that. So BT is a great thing to do on those things. Any Monterey products that you love?
I like the Monterey once a year insect control.
Yes, nice.
Yep, for taking care of aphids on crepe myrtles and things of that sort.
And it is really great because it's a once a year treatment, and it's a systemic, and it gets in the plant and protects it from the inside. So a lot of the ones that are always problematic, like crepe myrtles, that's a really great one. And they have so many wonderful solutions. Their website to check out these wonderful solutions, MontereyLawnGarden.com. And once you kind of zeroed in on one or two, you know, pop in an Enchanted Garden, pop into any of the Home Show Garden Pros location, and they have a really nice selection of it. Now, if you've fallen in love with something they don't have at your Home Show Garden Pro location, just talk to them, right? And they'll let you know either another option for it, or they'll get it in. It's pretty simple, because Monterey is just great to work with, and they're making great, great solutions for your problems. So MontereyLawnGarden.com to find a location near you, HomeShowGardenPros.com. 281-496-5711. That's the number. 281-496-5711. Al, you are on Home Show Garden Pros.
Enjoy your show. I have a lot of oak trees. They generate lots of leaves, of course, this time of year. I was thinking about probably last year, it probably was two dozen of those City of Houston compostable, very fragile, very expensive little bags. So what if I put them on the yard instead?
There's nothing wrong with
your own.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with, you know, mulching your leaves. Depending on how many there are, you know, if you have six trees in a tiny, tiny yard, then maybe it's too much. But I would think you could do that. You know, I would go ahead and do it. And then, you know, if it's too thick in some areas, you can always bag up a few here and there, or, you know, move them to another area. Yeah. But
how would you, when you say too thick, do you mean that the grass would not, the grass would show that it's overpowered with leaves, or the leaves would just be too tall and thick, layer?
Yeah, you want the blades of the grass to, you know, even though it's not actively growing this time of year,
uh-huh.
You want the leaves of the grass to be able to get, you know, or the blades of the grass to be able to get air circulation and, you know, to be able to get some sunlight.
Okay, that'd be the that'd be the importance of the mulching type mower to make, to cut up the leaves into small enough pieces to fit between between the leaves of the grass.
So, Al, just to be clear, you're talking about basically just leaving the leaves where they fall and mowing them.
No, I'm talking of most of the leaves are near the street,
yeah.
And I would blow them towards the center of the yard between the sidewalk and the house.
Yeah.
It's a space, you know, 35 foot square,
yeah.
40 foot square.
And
I'm saying that to blow them there and then run over them with a mulching type mower.
And so there will be days or weeks where you just have, you know, a 4-inch pile of leaf that you're mowing over.
No. No, there would be if I use this blower every other week, I would think I could blow the leaves into the yard and run the mulching mower over the leaves.
I think it's a great plan,
and it wouldn't be a pile of leaves. It would be mulch, and
after you're done, they would be little like confetti sized pieces, basically.
That's what I hope to have. Yeah,
yeah. And
I honestly hadn't tried this. I don't know how much my mulching mower will. I don't know how well it will cut up the leaves.
Yeah,
it should do a pretty good job at it.
And the ones that get kind of tucked down in the grass are the ones that will be decomposed first anyway. And so, yeah, I think it's worth giving a shot. Is it all live oaks?
They're all oak varieties, but one or two is water oaks. One, two are those names. The ones that have three separate sections to the leaves pointing, you know, north, east, and west.
As a red oak, I guess?
Yeah, red oak.
Yeah.
That's it. Uh-huh.
Well, so I asked that question because if it was all live oaks, there's a lot of tannin in those live oak leaves, but they don't all fall at once.
No, I think only two or three of the half, probably. I probably got seven oaks that you can scarcely reach around them.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Well, Joey, what's your take on the plan?
Yeah, I'd say mulch them up. You know, live oaks don't really lose their leaves until the springtime when the new leaves are pushing the old leaves off. So that's not even going to fall into the equation this time of year.
And some of the nutrients that are doing that, you're mimicking nature a little bit, and you're providing that back to the soil, which is the tree's intent, right? Is to kind of provide nutrient storage for itself by dropping those leaves.
Yeah, yeah.
And so, I mean...
And I'm trying to help my yard, but I'm also trying to help me because it's not fun raking leaves.
Yeah, and I mean, and blowing and mowing is, you know, way more fun than raking. I'll just say that.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, you're like, I'm a storm, you know.
Uh-huh.
The other thing would be keep blowing them all the way up until you get to the landscape beds. And using them as mulch in there, but no.
Okay, now near the house, our flower beds are roughly 3 feet wide, and there, of course, you can't get the mulching mower in there. But how thick can they be there? They can be a half inch or so thick of leaves without damaging any flower beds, right? Because I don't have low flowers. She only has. Azaleas that are tall, that are 2 foot tall, 3 foot tall. In other words, there's nothing that's
right.
Down low.
Yeah, you know, I personally would prefer to mulch them up in the lawn and you know, get rid of them that way. You're going to chop them up into so small of pieces that they're going to decompose in a hurry.
Okay. All right. And one other thing, actually two other things. When a guy, because I hope next year to put on some of the compost. We've had good luck. We only have done it twice, I think. But when you do the compost and sling it around, you know, get a trailer load and get a sling it around with a shovel.
Yeah.
The
top dressing.
Yeah, the top dressing. You know, the blades of grass should show, right?
Yeah, yeah, and a great way to kind of ensure that is to get that same blower out and blow it down to the soil level.
We used to rake before, but the blower's
a lot
easier to pull a trigger on a blower.
Yeah, yeah, okay. And it's good shoulder workout too.
Okay,
you know? Not
right.
As hard on your back.
And nothing to do with plants, but years ago we had a small miniature schnauzer, and we thought that it had eaten some of that snail. eating food, that sluggo.
Okay.
And we thought it made the dog sick. Do you think they have changed the formulation, or possibly it was misdiagnosed in 1990?
How much of the sluggo did it eat?
I don't know.
Yeah,
I don't remember distinctly, but that was the only diagnosis that the veterinarian, an educated veterinarian, not just a neighbor next door, you know, a person that went to Texas Agricultural and Mechanical College.
But it's a miniature schnauzer.
Yeah. And it was a healthy dog, but made the dog very ill.
Yeah, so sluggo is a salt, and if it was a sluggo plus, that does have an insecticide in it. And dogs sometimes will overconsume salt, so they'll lick up a bunch of it or try to eat a bunch of it.
But you don't hear that.
We don't hear that at all from
listeners often, do you?
No. And literally on the on kind of their advertisement, it's like it is pretty safe. I think getting sick is one thing.
I would expect a dog to get sick if it ate snail bait.
Sure.
Yeah. I wouldn't doubt it.
I would almost expect a dog to get sick if it ate a bunch of table salt.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Yeah. There's some stuff that they don't have that advanced of a digestive system. So I know my dogs have eaten a lot of Microlife. No, I don't.
Every once in a while I see somebody that must not have a good digestive system because they're 150 pounds more than they should be.
Yeah. Yeah, and let's not even get into some of the farting that's out there. All right, well, hey, thanks, Al, for your time today.
Thank you.
Great questions there from Al. And yeah, 281-496-5711. You can use leaves in a lot of ways, especially if you're like Al and you have a diverse selection of oak trees. Home Show Garden Pros on Sports Radio 610. Got Joey for one more segment, and then we hand over to Tom Tynan, which is very exciting for everyone. 281-496-5711.
Get growing at Warren Southern Gardens. Whether you're a garden newbie or ninja, Warren's helps you succeed without ever making you feel stupid. From seed and soil to plants and products, Dean and Bernice and the whole crew at Warren's gets you growing because their roots run deep. Come wander Warren's Pathways, where it's always safe to set your inner gardener free. Warren Southern Gardens, 1675 North Park Drive, Kingwood. Online at warrensoutherngardens.com.
I wish you a brave new year.
Welcome back to the Home Show Garden Pros.
Enjoying that music a little too much. Home Show Garden Pros, Joey Lindeman here. So what's happening at the garden, the Enchanted Garden?
It's going to be a nice day. Wintertime finally came back a little bit. It's going to be cool. So going to be nice out there. Plenty of fall color, plenty of pansies and snapdragons and alyssum and cyclamen. Just good times.
Dianthus.
Dianthus.
I love those. There's so many cool ones now with like frilly, freaky leaves. Flowers.
Yeah.
I like the dianthus because I think I just like the edge of the flower, and they seem to last a long time.
Yeah, they do. A lot of times they can be a perennial.
Yeah, but pansies last a long time too in winter. They just keep on going because we have such kind of even temperatures for so long. So now is a great time to get annuals and get them in the ground. So how's the veggie section?
Still lots of veggies.
Yeah.
Still in good shape. You can do another round of vegetable plants now. If you've already planted your broccoli and cauliflower and all that, a month or so ago, then got some room, go ahead and pop a few more in
there. It is a great thing to do. Because after you get the big heads, they'll put on smaller heads. And if you have several plants, you still get full servings of those little smaller flowers.
Yep.
And maybe like your dog ate your kale, and your collard greens out and, ran around the yard with it, even though it was, 2 years old and 4 feet tall.
Did that happen to you?
No, I'm just saying, maybe that happened to someone else, too, in addition to me. So, and you needed to get more collards and kale. They're a great plant to do. Cool thing about them is you can start eating them immediately. You can start picking and eating them immediately. They'll start growing quicker. And a little secret from those is you don't have to harvest the whole thing. You take the outer leaves, whatever the lowest leaves are. And that's also true for your lettuce and your mustards, things like that. And you can get a lot of production from a little bit of plant.
Yeah, definitely.
So you like mustard greens?
I've never cooked them. And I said I was going to do it this year, and I've planted some. So.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll see. We'll see what happens.
I'm going to do it.
Oh, there we go. We have a very early New Year's pledge from Joey to eat mustard greens once.
Maybe more. You never know.
But we're just holding you to once, though.
Okay,
cool. Well, if you guys have more questions for Joey, just pop on in to Enchanted Gardens. Maybe he won't be there, but they can definitely help you out
I'll
with good information.
I'll be there soon.
Yeah, he'll be there soon. So, yeah, don't pop in right now because he's here. So, you know. Awesome. Well, Tom Tynan's awesome show, Home Show Radio, starts here in a little bit. Joey, thanks so much. Great job, as always.
Thank you.
This is Home Show Garden Pros, and we'll talk to you guys next week.
You could spend your whole weekend slogging through that to-do list of chores at home.
Ah!
Or you could go from to-do to done like a boss. Get the help it takes from Houston's go-to guy for the sport of home improvements, Tom Tynan on Home Show Radio.
I listen to your show forever. God bless.
Coming up next after the Home Show Garden Pros.
And anytime you want.
At homeshowradio.com. Pros you can trust. Tips, advice, videos, and the Home Show podcast. Always on.
Always free.
Homeshowradio.com.
Stay tuned. Home Show Radio will return shortly.